Welcome to the Boldly Business Podcast brought to you by Sage and Fin24. I'm your host, Zoe Brown. In this podcast, we chat to a range of dynamic entrepreneurs across Mzansi as they speak honestly about their journey to profit. Through the season, we talk mistakes, tips, and lessons to get you closer to the business owner you want to be. We know South Africans love a cold one, making it a booming and important business. Meet Apiwe Nkosani Mawela, who is brewing up a storm with her world-class African-inspired beers that use local ingredients like rooibos and sorghum. Apiwe is standing out not only as one of South Africa's first black female brewsters, but is also holding her own in an industry dominated by men with her bold plan to create a truly South African style of beer. Apiwe, welcome to the episode.
Hello, Zoe. How are you?
You know what? I am good, but I am quite envious of your job. Apiwe, let's talk about your journey and how you ended up getting into brewing. What's your relationship with brewing and when did it all start for you?
Actually, the interest for me didn't start with the product itself or the beer or how it tastes or, you know, contrary to common belief that maybe I just loved drinking so much that I saw myself doing this for the rest of my life. For me, it was actually more the sciences. So I'm a, growing up, I enjoyed maths and sciences and biology. So I kind of knew that that's kind of like the career path that I would end up in. My parents wanted me to become a doctor, but I wasn't really into that. So it was only in high school that I was actually introduced to the study of microbiology and biotechnology. So when I attended open day at one of the universities here in Johannesburg, and that's for me, that's where it started out because I was intrigued that one could actually produce products that people consume on a day-to-day basis through science. And then, yeah, so I applied for a bursary with SAB when I was doing my microbiology degree. And then I did my honors in microbiology and I then joined SAB right after, after varsity, trained as a brewer, got qualified as a brewer. And then I think it's just one of those things that, the more time I spent doing it, the more in love I fell with it. Qualified as a brewmaster and then I decided to leave the company in 2015.
So overall, how long have you been within the brewing industry?
all my adult life. I joined SAB in 2008. So that's how far back it goes. And it's just been different elements and different levels within the industry, but I've been in the beer industry since, I'll say, 2008.
That is incredible. Can I just tell you, Apiwe, as a woman in a male-dominated space, how have you managed to, you know, own your space in the game?
Yeah, that's one of the questions I think as a woman in this industry get asked a lot. For me, what has worked, I would say, over the years has been, I think, the fact that I've kind of proven myself within the people within the industry, both home brewing or micro brewing and the big brewing companies, where I think the guys have kind of seen what I can do. And I've gotten to a point where I think I've earned my status. I've paid my dues. But it hasn't been easy at all. Through the years, one has been questioned. I think even today, I mean, I don't think there's still some people who still question, like, what does she know? What does she, you know? But for me, having the background that I have, having the qualification, having the experience, having all that, it helps me prove myself more.
Well, you've certainly proven yourself. I can tell you that. Now, Apiwe, I need to ask you, have you developed your business to give back to the community in any way? And if so, how?
Yeah, so I, being in the alcohol industry, we obviously are dealing with a product that has a lot of, linked to a lot of social ills within the communities. So it is something that's very close to my heart because, I mean, I grew up in communities where I've seen, how the abuse of alcohol and how the misuse of the product, can do and lead need to. So I'm quite passionate about, I do a lot of community work through Brewster's Craft. I do talks at high schools where I talk not only about my journey. So it's more of a motivational talk where I talk to most kids from previously advantaged communities in the townships and, you know, squatter camps and rural areas, tell them about my story and so that they can see that, you know what, as a young Black child who grew up in the same environment and I'm able to achieve what I have achieved, just to motivate them. And also within that, also I cover my the careers. So if you go to a lot of the rural areas, a lot of kids who know only of specific careers. So I tell them about what I do, what other careers are they in, within my industry. And then also I talk a lot on the issues around underage drinking. I engage with the kids about their experiences with alcohol and just dismiss the, and also the myths around underage drinking and answer questions. Cause you actually, interestingly, I get to learn, I mean, some of these kids who at 12 are started drinking and you kind of unpack that. Why is that happening? And then you get to answer. I mean, one of the kids actually asked me the other time, but ma'am, you make the product and you're saying we shouldn't drink it. And then you start engaging them at that level. And it's no longer just about the parent telling them do not drink because I say so. But now this is somebody who has a career in the industry and is telling them not to drink. And then I do, I'm very passionate about women and in the industry. And I think for me, it's because, I mean, as one of the few women who have broken out of the stereotype and have made it or are making it in the industry, it is like our duty to make sure those who come after us are having it easier than we did. So I am very biased towards women. I employ mainly women. I mentor a lot of ladies in the industry and just help push them. And then the other last one that I'm quite passionate about is transformation within the beer industry. So I work with a lot of Black entrepreneurs, township-based, who are looking to disrupt the industry and transform the alcohol industry. So those are the key three main community-based work that I do.
Well, Apiwe, you are amazing. You are doing it for the ladies. You're doing it for your community and certainly for transformation as a whole. And you know what? Listening to your journey, I'm quite intrigued to find out what has been some of your biggest hurdles and highlights on your career path so far.
Oh, yeah, there's been quite a lot. I often say to people, I mean, having the title of being the first Black female individual to own a brewery in South Africa in 2021 definitely tells you that it's not easy. Otherwise, if it was easy, there would have been many more before me. There would be like 20 others waiting after me. And that is unfortunately not the case because there are so many hurdles within the industry. And I think overall in South Africa, to get into any business, you can talk to different people in different industries and they'll probably tell you around the same things. For me, the biggest was, I'll say, funding, getting funding, market access, the red tape around the breweries. I mean, the amount of, I mean, for my brewery, I had to wait for 7 months to get a license. So, and during that time, you have to have signed a lease. You need to be paying rent. You need to, you know, so there's so much, that one has to get through just to get going. So yeah, we could take the whole day going through some of them, but at the top of my head, those are the main three ones.
I can't believe there was so much red tape in, you know, getting all the paperwork sorted and really getting started in your business. Now, Apiwe, I also want to know, with the initial lockdown, the ban on alcohol must have had a massive and negative impact on your business. How did you find the tools to cope?
Yeah, that was a very, very dark time, very frustrating, very emotionally draining, demanding periods. I mean, in total, if you look at the three alcohol bans we had last year, they totaled to about five months in total. So during that time, having to still pay salaries, maneuvering, paying rental, and our plant is through a loan through the IDC. So all those were things that one had to constantly be wary of throughout the ban. I think for me, through all three bands, I just kept on pushing and just told myself, you know what, I need to keep pushing. I need to keep trying to make this work. So it has been an uphill battle. I've looked at selling sanitizers. I've looked at non-alcoholic products. I've looked at so many different ways of continuing the business, but it's still to this day, as much as people think, the last ban opened up in February and now we're in May, and people think that we're having the good time and we are enjoying and recovering. But to this day, it's still as difficult. We're still feeling the ripple effect of the ban. Now I have to catch up on rental and to catch up on loans. Sales are down. We're getting into winter months. There's talks of the third wave. There's restaurants that have closed down. So it's still a very big, much a, I'll call it a mess. COVID turned our lives upside down. And it still continues to. But I mean, we're still alive. That's the most important thing for me. And whatever happens, one will still carry on and find other ways of survival.
And we keep moving forward. We keep pushing through. And you know what? The fact that you are here, you survived the three different alcohol bans during the lockdown just shows your own drive for your own business. Now, I'm very fascinated when it comes to, you know, innovating the product, the flavor, but then also finding that balance between meeting the demand and selling what works. How do you find that balance?
So within my products, my passion is around Africa. I'm very passionate about the continent and showcasing to the world what we have as Africans and what we have to offer. So that I've carried through to my brands, which is the Dologa Zibia. So I use a lot of the African unique ingredients. So I've got a sorghum pilsner that uses a bit of sorghum malt. I've got a rooibos cider. So what I've found is that a lot of people are actually intrigued that you can actually innovate to that level and take what, when you talk sorghum beer to a normal man or normal person on the street, they will think of Mkombo to thick and that specific taste. And then I'm like, no, but this is what I'll call a modern version of it, to make sure obviously that the tradition also carries on. And then people actually get intrigued. And once they taste, they're like, oh, wow, this is actually not what I thought it would be. And I'm seeing that is kind of like moving over to being a more of a everybody kind of thing that people are liking. The rooibos cider are also a different, distinct in taste, but it is very close to some brands that a lot of people identify with as part of the mainstream offering. So I think I've been fortunate in that the people that have tried our products have actually been quite impressed with what we're doing.
I'm very impressed listening to the different, I don't want to say ingredients, but the different elements that you've been playing around with. And are there any other South African flavors you're going to be experimenting with?
I recently actually played around with a mango beer, which was actually meant to be a limited edition offering. And the feedback I've been getting is like, no, you have to make this all year round. So it's quite interesting when you get that, because it's something that is, I'll say, outside of the norm within beer to have that fruit being used in a beer product, and having both beer drinkers and non-beer drinkers actually enjoying it, that gives me satisfaction. And also just will continue to play around with other ingredients and collaborate with other breweries and see what is there, what is possible.
You're listening to the Bold Leap Business Podcast, brought to you by Sage for FIN24. I am your host, Zoe Brown, a home for dynamic entrepreneurs across Mzansi as they speak honestly about their journey to profit. How often do you get to play around with ingredients? Is it something you do seasonally? Is it something whenever it strikes the mood? How often do you put those recipes to the test?
So it's mostly when I come across an interesting ingredient that I think might work in a beer, then I'll be like, oh, let me try this out and see what comes out. And sometimes it's a miss, sometimes it's a win. So you do get that and just kind of playing around. And sometimes it's based on maybe tasting somebody else's beer and just getting inspired. inspiration from that. I don't play around as I would love to, because life does take over. But I think I do get around to once in a while. So my idea going forward is probably do a seasonal, at least every twice a year or even three times a year.
Amazing. That is incredible. I had no idea that, you know, you could play around with mango flavors for beer. So well done on that. And I wanted to know from you, you know, given everything that you know now, what would you do differently if you were given the chance to, you know, start over?
I think it's one of those questions where, personally, I think everything that I had to go through had to happen so that I could be where I am today and all the lists and learn everything else on the way. So it's a very difficult one because, yeah, whichever path I would have taken, I probably would have gone through most of what I went through. So, I'm content. I'm happy with where I am. And grateful for the learnings and all the hard takes and all the difficulties that I've had to go through. Yes. So it's a difficult question to answer that.
Well, I've now even a more difficult question to ask because where do you see your business in the next 5 years? I find that these are the type of questions that are actually a bit difficult to answer.
Yeah, but that's easier than the previous question. Yeah. Where do I see myself in 5 years? Interesting question. Huh? I see myself within the beer space in one way or the other. I see myself still playing the role that I've been playing and maybe a bigger role. Because like I said to you, like for me, I am very much for showcasing to the world what we have to offer. So for the next few years, I just want to push the Africa agenda, if you want to call it that, and just make sure the world knows that we are here. We exist. We make great beers. For an example, if we have tourists coming in from Germany as a country, they're used to a Weiss beer. Germans are known for their Weiss beers. Every town in Germany you go to, they've got a version of the Weiss beer. So I would like for them to have similar experiences when they come to Africa, to say, if I'm in South Africa, I'm not going to have a beer that I would find anywhere else in the world. I would have that beer only in South Africa, and I only have that beer only in Nairobi, only in Ghana. So my plan is to spread the beer love throughout the continent, and influence as many people as I can, that as Africans, we need to take our space. We need to create our own table and sit on our table and make sure everybody all sits on our table. I want to push more women in the industry. I normally say to people, if I was to die tomorrow, I wouldn't want to die as being the first and the only Black female person to own a brewery in South Africa. I would love to rest in peace knowing that through what I was able to do, it was a norm. It was not something that was a headline. So that is kind of some of the stuff that I want to focus my energies on the next 5 years, and obviously grow the brand, make money, hopefully. And
Of course. And I love that. And you're definitely well on your way, just hearing how, you know, how you are all for woman empowerment, how you are for transformation. And of course, the good work that you've been doing in your community. Now let's talk about your business. Tell me, what is your business called?
Hi. So I've got a brewery that is called Brewster's Craft. So a brewster is a term we use for a female brewer. So I think without getting tiring about this, but from the name of the business, I am for just advocating for women in the industry. And so the company I started in 2015, and when I started, it was just after I left SAB. And at that time, I was focused more on training, consulting, and within the beer space. Then I built a brewery in Roodepoort in Johannesburg, where we actually physically do the transformation, where I contract manufacture. At the moment, I've got probably like 10, 15 brands that are all starting up, that are just going out there and changing the status quo. Then I also launched my own brand, which is called Dologazi Beer. So Dologazi is my clan name. So in the African culture, a woman, when they get married, they will change their surname, and they will be given a new name, but they will always keep their clan name. And also when women that brew beer, they will be called after their clan name. So if you remember Mama Yvonne Chaka Chaka's song, Madlamin. Yes, so Madlamin is a brewer. So I wanted through the brand to celebrate the women in the beer space and just continue to advocate for them and make sure people understand and know that we are the day one brewers. Men might have come through the years and taken over and made their own thing, but we are still the women. We women are still the main brewers, and we are reclaiming our space in the beer industry.
That's why you are our brewster. Abdiwe, how can people support you? How can they get in touch with you? How can they taste the beer that you make?
So the Dologazi beer brand is available, I think, nationwide on takealot.com. I think that's our current biggest platform. But we are in a few selected outlets at the moment and planning to continue to grow. So if anybody's listening and watching us and has an outlet that think that my beer might fit in within their outlet, please do contact. I'm available on all social media platforms, mainly going by my name, Apiwen Nzani Mawela without an H. I'm on Instagram and Twitter. And yeah, and you can just Google me.
Amazing. We will definitely be Googling you because you are our brewster. Apiwe, thank you for your time and thank you so much for joining me on this episode. It was a lot of fun talking to you.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to the Bold Leap Business Podcast. Catch us next week with a new episode.